Today, I want to go into a second part of my message that I started last week. And we are in a series for this summer called Overcomer, which comes from this verse that in 1 John that talks about if you are born of God and you're born spiritually through Christ, you are an overcomer. And how we are in this life, we're to live this life as overcomers, not as defeated and as depressed and anxious, but we are to overcome things that come at us. And we talked, first Sunday was about overcoming our past. Second and third is going to be on talking about rejection. And I want to continue on rejection because I believe rejection is one of those things that if I could speak a whole month on it, I probably would have enough material. But it's one of those things where that we all experience in our life. And it's, I would say it's probably one of the hardest things as humans that we get to overcome with Lord's help. We can't, this is the thing, we cannot overcome rejection in our own strength and in our own power. We just can't. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the help of Jesus in our life to help us overcome rejection that we have experienced in our life. And the thing about rejection is we all experience it at all levels of life. Maybe every single day when we wake up, we go through this day and we experience rejection, whether it's from the loved ones that we love the most, whether it's from even our children or our cousins or our friends and our neighbors or place of work, whatever we are, we all experience it constantly. And we chatted about what rejection is last week a little bit and what that represents and means. And you can go back and watch that on our website. But I want to go deeper into it this morning, into another story of another gentleman that experienced rejection in the Bible. And I want to just kind of leave it at this. You know, our greatest need that we as humans have, that God has put in our heart, is to feel loved and accepted. That's why God created us. He actually created us in an intention that you would be loved, that you'd be in relationship with him, and that you would feel that acceptance from him. The problem is, rejection is the opposite of love and acceptance, and that's why we hate it so much. That's why one of the greatest fears that humans have, like I mentioned, is death and public speaking. And public speaking is usually part of it because we get rejected by multiple people all at once. Not just one person, but multiple people. And one thing is for sure, like I said, death and taxes are sure, and you can add rejection to that. That's also what's sure and things that we will have to learn how to deal with as we go on about our life. And I really genuinely believe that rejection is the root problem for many life issues. If I can be bold and say that probably 99% of our life issues that we face in this life come from the root of rejection. In my own life, when I look at my own life and things that I struggle with and things that I go through as a human being, as a leader, as a husband, as a father, as whoever, it is the rejection at the root of it. When I feel down, when I feel, I'm not up to my, you know, I'm just not up to go about this day, it's usually somewhere there hidden in some sort of rejection. And one thing that is for sure is that enemy in our life is going to use rejection to tear us down, to pull us away from what God has for us. And what we need to realize is that issues that we face in this life, many of them are rooted in rejection. And when we realize that, when we expose that, when we actually deal with that, then we are actually able to defeat that. Enemy exposed is the enemy defeated. A lot of people go through this life from one cycle to another, not realizing what the real enemy is, and they don't deal with the root problem. They just deal with the fruit and just with the behavior modification. And we have a lot of counselors and a lot of people out there that just, it's all about behavior modification. But at the end of it, when you come down to the root of it, whether it's addiction, whether it's just issues, relationship issues, going from one marriage to another, from brokenness to another brokenness, it's all somehow found and rooted in rejection. And this cycle started, would you believe, it started in the heart of the one who is the enemy of our soul that we've heard about multiple times, and his name is Lucifer, Satan himself. He is the first one in heaven, we know the story found in Isaiah, he's the first one that rejected God and his plan. He rebelled against the Lord. He wanted to be like God, and he was thrown off heaven. And out of that pride and that rejection, he actually came and he took a third of heaven. The Bible talks about it. He took a third of the angels with him to rebel against God. He felt rejected, but he had rejected in his heart towards God that he actually deceived the angels and he was thrown onto this earth. And then we read a story in the beginning of the Bible how Adam and Eve were created by God to have this beautiful relationship with him. And there was this great plan that was for them to live this life free of any kind of rejection and sin. But then Satan himself enters into the picture, the devil himself, and he makes the first humans, the first couple in the Bible, he makes them reject God and his plan for them. You see the cycle here? We got Satan, rejection, goes to Adam and Eve, and then guess what happens next? If you read the story a little more, there's a couple more stories in the Bible. Right after Adam and Eve, they had two sons. And they were named Cain and Abel. And if you don't know the story, one of them was so jealous and so angry and so upset that he actually went on and killed his own brother. Again, out of feeling of rejection that he had in his heart. And then the cycle after cycle, you look at it in the story in the Bible, there's so many rejections that happen throughout. And we're going to come in the Old Testament, to a story that I want to share with you. But you see it, even Jesus himself being rejected before he was even born. Talked about that last Sunday, how he was, before he even came onto the scene, he was rejected. And then you look at, we come to a story, just a couple of stories after that, we come to a story of Jacob, Israel, who also experienced rejection. Well, his brother experienced rejection. There was this fight and there was this battle between two brothers, and this one stole his birthright, which was a big deal at that time for the plate of food. And then Esau hated his brother, and there's this whole story of how Esau felt rejection from his brother, and that cycle of rejection just continues on into the family of their children, which he had later on had 12 children, and out of those 12 children, one of them was named Joseph. And you know the story of Joseph. We'll go into it in a minute. But Joseph was the youngest, yet the most, the favorite one in the family. And because his father favored him over his brothers, there was this rejection that started in the hearts of his brothers. And the Bible talks about it, how they hated their brother because he had favor in his father's eyes. You see the cycle? And the same cycle repeats today with us. We have people that struggle with this rejection deep down in the root of their heart and bitterness, and it just keeps a projecting into their family and their kids and their grandkids and their great-grandkids, and it just keeps on going on until the curse is broken. And the curse can be broken today if you want it. And you can't do it in your own power and your own strength. You can only do it with the power of Christ and power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So this rejection cycle, we are born in this sin. So we're born into rejection. And until we realize that rejection is a normal part of life and that we can have a help of the Holy Spirit in us to help us overcome rejection, we're just going to keep going through this life and hurting other people and hurting the ones that we love the most. We're just going to be in this cycle. And so much so that the enemy is going to try to use rejection against you so that you wouldn't fulfill the plans and the purpose that God has for your life. And he's going to keep bringing it up. He's going to keep using it against you. So much so that you're going to come find yourself in a life and you're going to look back and you're like, I just wasted 20 years of my life with unforgiveness to my father who rejected me. But I just wasted 20 years of I could have accomplished so much more. I let that rejection define me. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants to bring rejection into your heart so that you would reject other people and that you would reject God, you would reject other people, and that you would just, almost like a wounded warrior, walking through this life wounded and depressed and anxious, blaming everybody and everything in your life that comes your way because somebody else did something to you. And you use that as an excuse to walk in rejection and project it onto all your relationships. That's why rejection is so deep. It's so painful. It's so hurtful. It's so deep. But I want to share with you today that rejection, even though we'll always project negativity and passivity in our life and keeping things negative and all that kind of stuff, rejection can be used by God. If we really do and we really uproot it and we go down to the root of things and we get healed, we will not allow the destructive emotions and will not allow the behaviors to come and take over, but we will actually walk in freedom that God had intended us to walk in from the very beginning. God intends our little, we were born into this world as little babies. We just prayed for this wonderful baby. God intends us from that moment on to walk in freedom, to get to know him, and to not allow rejection to define us. But when we give our life, there comes a time in our life when we realize that God is real. And if you haven't done that, we're going to have an opportunity at the end of the service. But when you realize, you know what, God, that my parents were telling me about this whole time is actually a real God. He actually exists. He's real. It's not just a fairy tale story. It's actually real. God is the real deal. So when you make him the Lord and Savior of your life, then it's so much more easier to let go of hurt, to let go of pain, to let go of bitterness, to let go of rejection that you experience as you go through this life. And I've experienced it myself multiple times over, and I still experience it day to day, but now I know better. I know how to deal with it. I know who I am. And I'm not going to let the rejection define me. So I don't know if you've in your life walked through rejection, whether it's from your closest family members or somebody that you really trusted or you really did not expect rejections from. But there is a story in the Bible we'll talk about. I mentioned Joseph, where he himself, his own brothers, the ones that were supposed to protect him, the ones that were supposed to care for him, the ones that were supposed to be there for him because he was the youngest, the ones that were supposed to guide him and lead him and encourage him, rejected him, sold him into slavery, threw him into the pit, sold him into slavery. He ends up in Egypt. Potiphar, who was one of the rulers, bought him. He ends up in a castle, and we read in the story that the Lord's favor was with him, and he just gets promoted. Then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape, which he didn't do, throws him into prison, and the story goes on. He's in the prison for a while, and then all of a sudden, he interprets a dream, and the dream gets interpreted by that cupbearer head, and then he goes on, and because of that interpretation, later on, a few years later, he gets Pharaoh has a dream, brings him over, he interprets the dream, and there's this promise and this plan that God had from the very beginning. But sometimes when we are in our rejection and we're going through this life, we ask ourselves a question, is God really real? If God is really good, and if God is really real, and if he really has the plans and purposes and the hope for my life, why do I have to experience rejection? Why do I have to go through this? And that's the question a lot of people ask. If God is so good, and that's why a lot of people don't believe in God, because they say, you know, if God is so good, why would he allow this to happen to me? And that's their excuse to say, I don't believe in God, because if God was really good, this wouldn't happen to me. They don't realize that it's not God, it's the sin of people, it's the rejection and the enemy through people that's using people to stir you away from God's plan and from God's purpose. So Joseph gets sold by his brothers. Joseph experiences rejection at the deepest level. I'm going to just read a little bit of this story of when he was actually rejected, and I'm going to go in a couple of lessons from this. But there's so much good in this story that if we just pay attention to what God was working on and doing all along, we'll realize that in our lives sometimes, even though things don't make sense and we don't fully understand, that God is still working and God is still very present and God is still making things happen behind the scenes. And that's exactly what was happening with Joseph. So let's read this in Genesis 37. I'm just going to read verses 18 through 32. This is what he says. Now when they saw him, now the dad sent his youngest brother to his brothers youngest son to his brothers to tell him what they're doing, and he's showing up now in the field, and his brothers hate him. They literally hate him. And as he's coming down the field, he says this, "Now when they saw him far off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him, and they wanted to kill him. Then they said to one another, 'Look, a dreamer is coming.'" They had a nickname for their little brother, because he did have a dream saying that he's going to rule over them. And this is the very reason why they were so angry and upset and hated him. And they call him a dreamer. "Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it. He delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." That was his plan. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic. He had a special tunic, colorful robe, that was given to him by his father, who favored him. Is one lesson for all the parents in the house. Never have favorite children in your house, because it's not going to work. It usually will not turn out good, okay? Just love everybody the same and favor everybody the same, okay? Just don't have favorite children in your house, because that can stir up the root of rejection, which is what happened here. And they took the tunic that the father gave him, a tunic of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and they looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to these Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers actually pulled, the very brothers, they throw him into the pit, pull him out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And these guys took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, came looking for his brother, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. He returned to his brothers, and he said, "The lad is no more. Where shall I go?" So they took Joseph's tunic, they killed a kid of the goats, and they dipped the tunic in the blood, sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and they said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it's your son's tunic or not?" And then he realized, and he said, "It's my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob, his father, tore his clothes. He put sackcloth on his waist. He mourned for his son many days, and all of his sons and daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. He said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And then the Midianites later on had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Now imagine the dysfunction that this family was going through and experiencing. I would like to say, I wish I came from a perfect family, but I did not. My family was very dysfunctional. I'm not going to go into details, but I haven't met the perfect family yet. I'll just leave it at that. We all have dysfunction. We all have things that we deal with, problems that we experience as we grow up, and stuff like that. But this was dysfunction on another level. The youngest of brothers is getting sold at the 17 years of age to some random people. And then they take his clothes, dip it in the blood, and try to make up a story to their father that he's dead. Often what happens when rejection comes in there's a lot of lies that come out of that, a lot of makeup stories that we come up with. So he was rejected by his own siblings and sold into slavery. And this is the first mention in the Bible of human trafficking. Human trafficking today is very real. It's very prominent, especially among the young and vulnerable. And it's one of the biggest problems that our society deals with. And I'm not going to go into that, but this is the first mention of someone being trafficked, someone being sold into slavery. The Bible talks about how when he was sold into slavery, it talks about how the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered and in all that he did. And people there saw the success. They saw that God was with him even when he was a slave. And Potiphar and them, they promoted him to a position in there to be in the palace. So literally, he just, over here, he gets rejected by his brothers. And the calling and that was on him and the favor that was on him, all of a sudden, you see that he's already promoted because God was with him right there in that moment. And here's one of the lessons that we can learn from this story. We can be rejected by people, but still chosen by God. We can, and we may, multiple times be rejected by multiple people, especially the ones that we care about and we think care about us the most, but we can still be chosen by God. I can't fathom this hate that they had towards their brother that caused them to, brought them to this rejection. The Bible says, Genesis 37, 3, 4, it says, Israel loved Joseph, the dad loved Joseph more than all of his children, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably to him. Every time Joseph would receive something from their brothers and they were speaking to them, I mean, it was probably just anger and bitterness and you're good for nothing and you're the worst and our dad loves you the most. You're going to do this and you're going to just rejection upon rejection upon rejection upon his life. And his brothers didn't just roll his eyes at him. They actually hated him because, not because he was sinful and because he failed, but because he was actually chosen. He was set apart. He was anointed. And sometimes in our life, when we're chosen and set apart by God, there's going to be a lot of things that the enemy is going to try to do to take us down and to discourage us so that we wouldn't fulfill what God has planned for us, the plan and the purpose that he has for us. Sometimes when we experience rejection, it has nothing to do with our flaws, but it has everything to do with the favor that God has put on our life. And Jesus even said this to his disciples. He said, in this world you will have trouble, and they will bring you and they will reject you because you accept me. So this is a normal part of Christian experience, that we, because of this world, did not accept Jesus. Don't think that they will accept you if you follow the way and you try to live your life according to the word. You can be rejected by people, but you can still be chosen by God. And just because others do not see that calling and that worth, it never means that your value in God's eyes depreciates. It never means that God has forgotten about you. God's choice is bigger than any man's rejection. And when God chooses us and he decides to zero in on us and he decides to make us his children, he looks at us and he, with a love in his heart, when he looks at us, he wants us to walk in purpose. He doesn't want us to look for approval from other people, to even need approval from other people. The only approval that we actually need in this life is the approval of God himself, who loves us and has a plan for us. And that is enough. That's enough to live this life. That you know that you're loved and approved by God himself. Rejection can hurt, and it can bring a lot of pain in our life. But oftentimes, rejection can become a redirection, and it can actually redirect us into what is it that God has for us. See, Joseph did not beg his brothers for approval. He didn't shrink his dream to make others feel comfortable. He held on to what God has given him when he was a young boy, when he had a dream. And that was his comfort. That's all he needed to know, that God had a plan for his life. And maybe in your life right now, maybe you experience a rejection in some area of your life. Maybe you're like Joseph. You got this nice color coat. You're wearing it. You're walking through this life, and it just makes people mad, and it makes people look at you and misunderstand you. But one of the things that we are to learn is that we should never let other people's misunderstanding misguide us towards what God has for us. So he was chosen, he was called, he was covered by God. He was rejected by his brothers, which probably was, I can't even imagine how painful that must have been. But he knew that he was chosen. And in this life, we may get rejected by people, but we are chosen by God. And here's another thing. People can throw us down, but God will never throw us out. In this story, you can read that they were so angry and so jealous, and they were conspiring whether they should kill him. Thankfully, they didn't. One of the brothers says, let's not kill our brother. Let's just throw him into the pit. I don't know how deep this pit was, and I don't know how, but it tells us in a scripture we just read. It says they took him down, they threw him into the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. So it was dark, it was empty, And there was no water, there was no resources, there was no rescue, there was no way out. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a pit in your life where you looked around and there was no, just everything felt dry. There was no friends that were calling. There was no comfort. There's no clarity. There's no, you look around yourself and it's just darkness. And you realize, like, I'm in a pit. Whether it's something that someone did to you or something that you have done, and you're just in a pit and there's silence and you feel like, you know what? I don't know if God cares. I don't know if God has a plan. God let him get thrown into the pit, but he never threw away Joseph. He said, and here's the truth. Being thrown down by people does not mean that you will ever get thrown out by God. The pit may be deep, but it's not final. And in this pit, God didn't show up with the rope. He showed up with the plan. And here's what happened, and this is why pit is so significant. In the pit, Joseph was there. I believe that God was preparing him for something that was to come. And this is where God actually worked, probably in his heart, peeled away all the pride, all the self-reliance, and all the need to be accepted by everybody around him, all of his brothers. And the only thing that he had in the pit was God himself. Nobody else. And this was a place where he wasn't being punished, but he was actually being positioned. He was actually being positioned for something greater. And while he was in the pit, all of a sudden he looked at the rope, and the rope came down from the very ones that rejected him, his brothers, and they pulled him out, the same ones that threw him in the pit, they pulled him out, and they actually sold him. And he probably felt relief, and he probably thought, okay, this is way better. I'm not going to die here. And there's going to be some sort of purpose for me. I'm getting sold, but he was probably thinking, okay, God has a plan. Because when he went and he got sold into slavery, it says that the Lord was with him this whole time. The Lord was with him, and God promoted him. So sometimes when we are in a very dark place in our life, we should know one thing, this one truth that should resonate in our heart, and I hope that it settles down in your heart this morning, that the pit is real, but so is God's promise. You see, God has plans, He has purposes for our life, and oftentimes in this life, we may face rejection, we may face the pit, but God has a promise that is there for us. And instead of asking, when we get in a pit, in a dark place, instead of asking God, God, why am I here? We should ask a different question. And the question is this: God, what are you preparing me for? What's coming my way that I should be ready for? He's usually in a pit. He's usually developing us. He's working on us. He's building us up. And He's preparing for something even greater. And then we see what happens later, a couple chapters later. We see that He's there. The Lord was with Him. He prospered. He got promoted. He was with Potiphar. And He was there just at the top of the government at that time. And we see something happens. He was 17 years of age, probably good looking. And there was the Potiphar's wife who wanted something from him. She thought, she was a lady in power. She probably looked decent, and she just wanted Joseph. She's probably used to getting what she wants, so she wanted to come after Joseph. And Joseph knew that, found that out, and she tried to trap him. He ran for his life, didn't want to lose his integrity. He ran from his life from this woman, and she screamed. The guards showed up, and they said, "She said he tried to rape me, false accusation." Again, rejection happens, and Joseph finds himself, do anything wrong, he finds himself in prison. Again, for nothing that he has done that was wrong. He just tried to run for his life. And as he ends up in prison, he could probably have some thoughts of, oh, here we go again. I'm back to square one. Rejected again. Now, not by the brothers. God surely had a plan. I came, He promoted me, I was here, and all of a sudden, boom, look what happened. This woman was evil, and now I'm rejected again. What now? And oftentimes, when the world looks at things that we experience in this life and we have a setback, oftentimes that setback can be a setup for us as God is setting up something for us. The world will see it as a setback, but God will see it as a setup. And one of the things that we learn from this story, I'm just going to read this, Genesis 39. It says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and He gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So again, the Lord was with Joseph. One of the truths here, that when he was back in the pit again, in this dark, cold prison with all the criminals and all the people that were there, he realized that he was not alone. When he was thrown out, he was not alone. God was with him still, even in that dark place. And he realized that even when he felt being set back by people, that did not mean that he was forgotten by God. He was so favored that actually he got promoted. He had a position in the prison because people looked at him and they said, this guy is a real deal. Let's give him something to do. You see, you may be in a place where you feel like you're in a prison. And you may feel like, you know, I don't really know how I'm going to get out of this. And I don't even know why I'm here. But I want to tell you one truth, and that is that God is still with you even in the prison. And God is still with you there, and that's the greatest truth that we as Christians believe, that the Holy Spirit, who's been sent by the Father through Jesus Christ, is with us right now, no matter what we face, no matter what we experience. He is with us right now in this moment. And in our darkest pits, in our darkest moments, He is still there. And He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He was not stuck. He was just being set apart. And the reason he went to the prison is because he gave him an opportunity to meet the cupbearer, the main cupbearer, who was also there. And the reason why he was in that dark place was so that he would interpret the dream for that gentleman who had a dream, he was very disturbed by it. He knew nobody that could interpret it. And then Joseph steps into the picture and he interprets the dream for this cupbearer, and he was amazed by him. And we see later on in chapter 40 that he actually, when he looked at Joseph, he was so amazed. Joseph, the only thing that Joseph told him, he said, you know, just remember me. When something happens, just please mention my name. Well, guess what happens? In chapter Genesis 40, 23, it says the chief cupbearer, who just he interpreted dreams to, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Another rejection for Joseph. By the very one that he helped, by the very one that he came out of his way, interpreted his dream, he gave him some hope. He told him, please remember me when you get out. The cupbearer, he nods, walks away, and completely forgets about him. And he didn't only forget about him for a day or 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months. Genesis 41:1 says this, when 2 full years had passed, 2 full years. There's so many things that happen in one day go through my mind. I can't even imagine. 365 days plus 355 days. Imagine how Joseph was feeling. Does God still have a plan for my life? Am I going to die here? Is this it? What about that dream? You know, all those things that happen. Is this really my life? Is this going to end here, or are we going to go? What's going to happen? He probably had a little bit of a doubt. I'm assuming, like, he was human, just like all of us here. He was thinking about these things and you know, just trying to reason in his own head. But here's one thing that we can realize in this story, that God's timing is perfect. Amen. And our timing is not God's timing. We can have all the schedules and all the plans and all the things on our paper, and it all looks good. And if this happens this time, and we pray for patience, and God, give me patience right now. I can't wait any longer. And the wait is so long, and it's long. But God's timing is not our timing, and his ways are not our ways. Two full years. We would think in our own head, 2 wasted years. 2 wasted, thrown away years. He was just sitting there in a prison, did nothing. But we see here that God, even though he was overlooked by a cupbearer, that God was working in his life, and God actually used him in prison. And in this silent season, he was staying faithful. He was staying consistent. He kept sowing because he knew that God was still with him, even in those 2 years. So, finally, in the right timing, it's almost like he was on God's calendar somewhere, sitting there. This is going to be the day when Pharaoh is going to go to bed at night and he was going to have a dream. And there's nobody in this country and on this earth, planet Earth, that can interpret this dream except Joseph. And then we see what happens. Cupbearer all of a sudden has revelation. And he remembers, after 2 full years, he remembers there is a guy in the prison that has a gift. Let's call him up. Pharaoh was so disturbed by the dream, the Bible tells us, that he just couldn't come to terms. And then Joseph walks into a picture at the perfect time and tells him, here's what's going to happen. 7 years of abundance and blessing and prosperity, 7 years of famine and no food. You've got to prepare. Pharaoh looks at Joseph, realizes this man is wise. This man is, is filled with God's wisdom, I'm going to put him in charge. He's the only one who can interpret my dream, so I'm putting this guy in charge. He puts him in charge. He becomes second man in command in all of Egypt. With all of his wisdom that the Lord gave him, he plans all the things properly. Those first seven years of abundance, he puts away enough food so there would be enough for all of the people that were living at that time. And after 7 years of abundance, there comes the famine, and there comes the moment when Joseph, who is in power in Egypt, stands in a palace, and his brothers, the very ones who rejected him, walk in, asking for food, asking for something so they wouldn't die. And the Bible talks about this story, how they walked in into the palace. As they walk in, they don't realize that that's Joseph who's ruling there. But Joseph realizes that this is his brother. So he breaks down. He goes into a room and cries it out. And he's just realizing all of a sudden, all the pain, and all the suffering. He realizes this was all for this moment. Here it is. Here's a dream that I had when I was a boy. They just came to me. And in human language, in our natural language, where it's hurt for hurt, pain for pain, tooth for tooth, eye for an eye, you know, you would think that someone like that would come and just come out and just say, "You guys, you're the ones who rejected me when I was a young babe. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to you." But the Bible talks about this amazing moment when he doesn't reveal who he is right away. Brothers go back. He wants to see his little brother. They bring his brother. He's so happy to see him. He asks about the dad. Dad is too sick to move around. He gives him the food. They come back. Now the dad dies because he was his favorite. He found out that he was alive. But when his dad died, the brothers made up a story because they were afraid of rejection. They made up a story that their father told him that he has to forgive them. And Joseph, filled with God's spirit and his wisdom, this is what he says here. Genesis 50:20 says this: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, saving of many lives." The colorful robe was gone. The royal robes were on. The pit, the prison, the pain is all behind him, and now in front of him, he has an opportunity to revenge himself. He has an opportunity to say what he really wants to say. He has an opportunity to put these guys away once and forever and prove that he was right. Can you imagine the moment? They're trembling. The brothers are trembling, expecting revenge. They know that they deserve punishment. They know what they did. They know it was wrong. But Joseph looks at them in the eyes, and he says something that changes everything. He says, "What you meant for evil, evil that you had in your heart, rejection that you had in your heart, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God turned for good." And this was not a denial of pain. This was not Joseph pretending that this didn't hurt. It wasn't like he owns that evil intent. He said, "You were evil." He tells them right in their eyes, "You were evil." But he refuses to be defined by what his brothers did to him. And instead, he lifts his eyes to what God did for him this whole time. And he saw the bigger picture. He saw the vision. He saw it all come to pass. He was taking that whole thing and reframing it in his mind. And he realized that now this is why I had to go through this painful life of 20-some years, pain after pain after pain, for this moment to actually bless the very ones that have hurt me. To bless the very ones that have rejected me. And God will always position us to bless those who hurt us. He will always position us that way, but we have a choice to make every single day of our life. We have a choice to either let the bitterness and resentment and rejection come out, or we choose the way of Jesus, which is love, forgiveness, and looking at the stepping back from this picture of pain and saying, God has a plan. And Jesus even said, you are to bless your enemies. You are to bless and pray for those that persecute you. This is what you are to do. So this is where you really, truly know that you have been healed as a Christian. When you can face the people who hurt you, and instead of cursing them and rejecting them and putting them away for good, you actually release them. You actually let go. You actually forgive. You actually say, you know what? What you did was terrible. It was wrong. It was painful. But I release you and I forgive you because I know that that's what I'm supposed to do. When you say, what was done, it was not right, it was painful, but I am not going to be stuck in that chapter anymore. I'm going to move on from that, and I'm not going to stop that. I'm not going to let that stop me from fulfilling God's purpose for my life. That's what happens when you let grace take over bitterness. Jesus modeled us for us so good on the cross, hanging there. He could have cursed them. He could have said any kind of thing that kind of negative thing towards those people, but he just said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. So, to conclude this message this morning, God can redeem any rejection that we face in this life. God can redeem it, and God can heal it. Will you allow him to do that in your life? Or will you take things into your own hands and your own wisdom and what you think is best and just go on about this life and waste years upon years living in resentment and bitterness and rejection because I'm going to be like this because this is what they did to me, and I'm going to live this type of life because this is how my dad lived, this is how my mom did, and this is how my brothers and sisters, and my brothers and sisters rejected me, and this is how they acted, so they have no rights, so I'm going to act like that towards them. Are you going to come to a point in your life where you're going to say, you know what? It's not fair. It's not right. I'm not justifying it, but I'm not God. And I'm not going to play God. I'm going to let God deal with them. And I'm going to still offer love and forgiveness. And I'm not going to let bitterness take over and rule in my life. People's rejection can never override God's direction. And God is always with us. We're not alone. So this morning, I want to encourage you to let go of the labels that other people have put on you. Let go of, release the bitterness that's poisoning your joy. Refuse to let rejection be your identity and receive the truth. And the truth is simply this: that God loves you. God accepts you just the way you are. God forgives you. You're embraced. You're equipped for purpose. God has a plan for your life, and you are his child. You belong to God. don't settle for just surviving and going from one thing to another, from one hurt to another. Just step into this transformation. Release that hurt. Release. Let God step in into that, whatever that picture is. Let Him come in. Let Him heal your heart from the rejection. And just like Joseph, you can actually walk this life and you can say, you know what? What was meant for evil, God used for good. And I believe that God is going to use for good. I may not see the good right now, because maybe too much evil right now that I'm facing, but I know somewhere, somehow, that God is going to take this and He's going to use it for good. And that is the message of the gospel. Romans 8:28. That all things that happen to us, God will take and turn for good. And we may never understand in this life how that's going to come about. Neither did Paul in prison, or most of the disciples that were following in their lifetime, they didn't see it. But here we are today to witness that God can take any story and any rejection and make it into something beautiful. Use it for good. Don't let rejection define your choices and define your destiny. Let rejection, if it comes, let it come, but don't hold on to it. Let it refine you. Let it make you better. Let it make you be more like Jesus. Because Jesus knows the pain. He knows how it felt. He felt it Himself firsthand multiple times over. Yet He chose, even after He knew what everybody was thinking, what everybody was conspiring, what Judas was about to do at the Last Supper, He still loved him. He still called him friend. He still came alongside and smiled, because He knew that God was going to take that and he was going to redeem it. And I don't know what you're going through in this morning in your life. Before we go to a song, I want to pray for you. You may never actually even heard that God loves you and God has a plan for your life. You may never even have known that God exists and he loves you so much that He wants to do incredible things in and through you in this life. You might have never heard that before. But I want to give you an opportunity this morning to just pray a prayer where you're just going to, in this moment, you're just going to stop. You're going to pause everything, all the thoughts going through your mind. You're going to pause and you're actually going to give your life to Him fully this morning. And I want to also pray for everybody that feels rejection. And there needs to be, I believe there's going to be some healing that God is going to do in people's hearts this morning. But let's just bow our heads in prayer. And I want to pray for everyone here this morning for salvation and acceptance. And why don't we just all pray together? You can just repeat after me as I pray together. But let these words settle in your heart as you pray them out and as you say them out loud this morning. Father God, today I come to you as I am. Wounded, weary, and needing your grace. I confess that I've tried to do life in my own way, and I've fallen short. But today, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and He rose again to give me new life. Jesus, I receive you into my heart. And I accept the gift of salvation. Wash me clean, make me whole, and adopt me into your family. I am no longer an orphan. I am your child. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for choosing me and for calling me by a name. I surrender my life to you right now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me from this day forward. And if you've felt rejection and you need healing in your life from things that you've experienced or you may be carrying on for a very, very long time, I want to pray for that as well. Heavenly Father, you know every wound that I carry. You've seen every moment where I was rejected, overlooked, misunderstood. Right now, I choose to lay those hurts at your feet. And I give you the pain that I've carried for so long. Every hurt, every word, every betrayal, and every silence. And I refuse to let rejection define me any longer. I choose healing, love, forgiveness over bitterness. I choose freedom over fear. And I choose truth over enemies' lies. Heal my heart, Lord, and fill every broken place with your perfect love.